Light. It's the natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. It's tiny electromagnetic waves that bring clarity, direction, awareness, and no place to hide. Its absence brings a chance to sleep, ignorance, uncertainty, and cover. It creates mood and atmosphere. It is absorbed, reflected, and refracted. It has plenty of theories, studies, laws, and inventions linked to it by names like Einstein and Edison. It can be pinpointed and focused to cut through matter. It can be intense enough to blind. It can paint a sky 50 colors. It can create shadows. On a rainy day, it can organize red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple. It can reach the Earth from billions of miles away. It can make skin darker. It can be reflected by a hunk of rock in the night sky. It can guide traffic in cities. It can make a dinner romantic. It can beckon a ship into harbor. It can fill a field with flecks of green in lightning bug mating season. It can send streaks across the sky so intense that they rumble. Light. Pretty cool, eh? It's the first thing that God created in Genesis 1:3. He created it even before he created the sun, which he created on the fourth day in verse 18. And after he creates it, he uses it as a guide and as a marking on its people. When his Israelites are in Egypt, and he sends the plagues over Egypt so that Pharaoh would let them go, he sends a plague of darkness. And it says in Scripture in that despite all that darkness, all the people of Israel still had light in their houses. And then when they're wandering through the wilderness, God gives them a pillar of fire to light the way they should go. Then out of this people, Israel, he raises this shepherd boy, David. And he makes him the king over all of his people. And he makes this covenant with David, and he says, you know what, no matter what happens, no matter how evil the kings get after you, I'm going to maintain your dynasty forever. I'm going to give you a house that lasts forever. And so even when horrible kings that deserve to be brought justice to come from David's line, it says, nevertheless, because of the covenant the Lord had made with David, the Lord was not willing to destroy the house of David. He had promised to maintain a lamp for him and his descendants forever. David was the light of Israel. He's what kept the light burning when it didn't deserve to be burning. And out of this light comes an even greater light. It's talked about in Isaiah. It's the Messiah. It says he's called in Isaiah the light to the Gentiles. God says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. God's saying to this coming Messiah, you know what, it's too small for you just to redeem this people, Israel. I'm going to make you a light that goes to the ends of the earth, that consumes the earth. And then in Luke, when Jesus, baby Jesus, is taken to Simeon, a prophet, Simeon says to God, you know what, you can dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared for the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And then in John 8:12, Jesus himself says, I am the light of the world. And again in John 9:5, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But then this is where it gets challenging. This is where it comes down to you and I. In Matthew 5:14, he says, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. In Ephesians 5, we're called children of light. Romans 13 asks us to put on the armor of light. 1 Thessalonians 5 calls us sons of light and sons of day. And Philippians 2 tasks us to shine like stars in the universe. Now, the difference between our light and Jesus' light is that our light is a collection of lights, and a collection of lights can scatter throughout the world. So what is it about light that God uses it consistently throughout Scripture to mark himself and his people, to describe us and him? It's like a thread he weaves throughout Scripture to show us his plan of redeeming the world. Well, let's just look at light. Light exposes things, right? It leaves all things seen and uncovered. When things have light shown on them, you see dirt, imperfection, and deformity, but you also see beauty that you couldn't see before. Before light makes things clear, you can only see mere shapes of what is in front of you. With light, you're given clarity of detail. Because of how clear it is, there's accountability. Whatever is done, whether acceptable or not, is seen. In light, there's no question of what is being seen or the nature of it. It's all truth. It has no mode of deception. Its identity is clear. Light also brings knowledge where there's been ignorance. It can be sometimes it's even like this aha moment when it changes everything. And we seem to call that revelation. When doubt is wiped away and what you've seen is just completely turns your world upside down. This is especially helpful when you're trying to navigate to go somewhere. If you can't see the path, how can you follow it? And this way, light brings us direction. So we're looking at an element that is characterized by exposure, clarity, accountability, truth, knowledge, revelation, and direction. It's no wonder that God calls himself the Father of Lights. But as children of this Father of Lights, we're called to embody all of those things as well. So here's the question that we always ask. What in the world does it look like to embody all of those things? There are two scriptures that really describe what in detail what it looks like to be living in darkness and what it looks like to be living in light. And when put side by side, like, there's a striking difference in direct comparisons. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Job 24, verse 13. And if not, it's up on the screen. Well, it will be. And this one talks about what it is to be in darkness. And it paints a pretty vivid picture. Job 24, verse 13 to 21. It says this. There are those who rebel against the light, who do not know its ways or stay in its paths. When daylight is gone, the murderer rises up, kills the poor and needy, and in the night steals forth like a thief. The eye of the adulterer watches for dusk. He thinks, no eye will see me, and he keeps his face concealed. In the dark, thieves break into houses, but by day they shut themselves in. They want nothing to do with light. For all of them, midnight is their morning. They make friends with the terrors of darkness. Yet they are foam on the surface of the water. Their portion of the land is cursed, so that no one goes to the vineyards. As heat and drought snatch away the melted snow, so the grave snatches away those who have sinned. The womb forgets them. The worm feasts on them. The wicked are no longer remembered, but are broken like a tree. They prey on the barren and childless woman, and to the widow they show no kindness. This is pretty bleak. We all know that most crimes happen at night, and this is very well explained here. Darkness gives those who look to take advantage of others comfort. It means they can get away with it, or at least they think they can. They are completely affiliated with darkness. It's where they live. Okay, so now let's turn to Isaiah 58, verse 6. And this is where we'll see what an outpouring of light looks like. Here, God is actually, he's talking about what kind of fasting is acceptable to him, because he's sick of like these empty rituals. And so when it says in the beginning, this is the type of fasting, he's saying, this is what's acceptable before me. It says, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. I don't know about you, but that gets me pretty fired up. That gets me excited about living in light, about caring for the needy and the oppressed. It says that our light will break forth like the dawn. Now, we're not just talking about a candle flame, or even a torch, or even a bonfire, and not even a firework, which is pretty cool. We're talking about the dawn. When was the last time you saw the sunrise? It almost always takes your breath away. And that's what our light is like when we're caring for these people. In these two scriptures, when you put them side by side and break them down and look at them, there are direct comparisons between darkness and light. While those in darkness kill the poor and needy, those in light are sharing food, clothing, and loosing the chains of injustice. While those in darkness are breaking into houses, those in light are providing shelter for the homeless. While those in darkness are preying on the barren and the childless, those in light are spending themselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfying the needs of the oppressed. And then there are the consequences of each lifestyle. While the grave snatches away those who have sinned, healing quickly appears for those who have cared for the oppressed. While their portion of land is cursed so that no one goes to the vineyards, the others are like a well-watered garden. While even the womb forgets them, the worm feasts on them, and they are no longer remembered. The others call to the Lord, and he answers, "Here am I." While those in darkness don't know light's ways or its paths, those in light not only have their righteousness to go before them, but have the glory of the Lord as their rear guard as well. While those in darkness are broken like a tree, God strengthens the frame of those in light. And lastly, while those in darkness suffer in drought and heat, God makes those in light like a spring whose waters never fail, and he satisfies their needs in a sun-scorched land. When you see the comparison, who doesn't want to be living in light? God is so clear about each and about the consequences of each. But another thing he is clear about is the source of that light. In Isaiah 50, verses 10 to 11, he warns us about making our own light. It says in verse 10, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. But now, all you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go, walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you shall receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment." If we try to just make our own way by doing the good things and just trying to push our way through it, we're missing something huge. We have to be filled with light before we can outpour it, and it can't be of our own making. We are called to be on both ends of light, to shine, but also to be shone on, to let light out, but we have to let light in first. In fact, it's necessary to have been found in the light of Christ before we can ever venture to really penetrate darkness in our world. We have to let light into our hearts before it can pour out. We can't just bring exposure, clarity, accountability, truth, knowledge, revelation, and direction to others. We ourselves have to walk through it. So are you walking in light? Are you completely real with everyone you run into, or do you still wear masks around each different group? Do you spread lies about people or allow gossip to continue in your presence instead of pursuing truth? Do you spend time in speculation about someone rather than approaching a person and seeking to understand? Are you harboring unforgiveness in your life or hate for another? Do you choose to see others the way God sees them? Have you come to grips with the truth of your own identity in Christ, or do you still continue on in insecurity? Do you seek accountability for your addictions and your idols? Is there something that you've hidden somewhere in your heart that you refuse to admit and bring before God? A person living in light confronts sin, sees its ugliness, faces the pain of admitting that that ugly thing was in their heart, and then seeks forgiveness from God and from those who have been hurt by the cover-up they've orchestrated. And through that darkness is abolished and they are healed. a person living in light goes to the person they've spoken judgment against, even behind their back, and asks forgiveness. A person living in light faces financial problems instead of just swiping the credit card. A person living in light doesn't waste time they're being paid for at work on their online shopping. A person living in light confesses their addiction to pornography to their spouse. If we're truly in light, nothing is hidden from God. So what you do when people aren't paying attention is always exposed before the living God. What you think that people can't hear is echoed in the ears of the everlasting Father. Your heart has buried underneath layers of hurt, guilt, and shame is laid bare in the hand of him who crafted it. Light and darkness are completely separate. It's not, you can't be halfway. There is no gray area. There is no shadowy area. Either you're in light or you're not. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Light and darkness can't coexist. Once light enters a space, the darkness disappears. It doesn't have a choice. In fact, the first thing God did with light after he created it and then approved it was to separate it from darkness. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" And skipping down to verse 17, "Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." God is pretty clear. If we aren't in light, we aren't his kids. We aren't his children. But just as our deeds and the things we do don't get us to heaven, so our light isn't the cause of our salvation. But think of it this way. If believing in Jesus and being born again in the Holy Spirit is a light switch, if you've flipped that switch and done those things, the light comes on. And if there is no light, chances are the switch hasn't actually been flipped. In John 3, Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus the idea of being born again in the Holy Spirit and believing in the Son so as to be saved. And he uses light. Starting in John 3, verse 17, he says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done through God." Jesus says that he didn't come to condemn, but to save. But the nature of light coming into this world is that it separates those who are in light from those who are not in light. If we actually believe Jesus is who he says he is, and we are born again in the Holy Spirit, which purifies us, then it will naturally show in our actions. Just as fire, when it purifies, can't help but shed light. This is not to say that if you have any moment of sin or darkness, that it cancels out the light inside of you. 1 John 1 says blatantly that if you claim to be without sin, then you're lying and the truth isn't in you. But living in light does mean that you don't turn a blind eye to sin. Living in light means you have your eyes open. Jesus says that the eyes are the lamp of the body. If we have our eyes closed, no light is let in, even if we're completely immersed in light. If you've received light in the revelation of Christ, it's simply unacceptable to continue on with your eyes closed for your own comfort. Closed eyes block light from getting in and getting out. The longer we wait to open our eyes, the deeper the darkness becomes. The deeper the darkness becomes, the greater the deception, and the more painful it is when the light finally breaks in. Light will always conquer darkness, no matter how deep or far or consuming. But just as first light after 8 hours of sleep hurts your eyes as they adjust, so when you finally open your eyes, it'll be more painful to see all the dirt and things that you've closed your eyes to for so long. Every day that you go on with your eyes closed to yourself and to this world, women continue in the grips of prostitution, children die of hunger, and men go another day abusing their power because they aren't shown what it actually means to lead. And people are dying without ever hearing of Christ. What's beautiful is that darkness really does disappear. God's grace and truth really does overcome, no matter how deep it is. But we've been entrusted with the task of bearing light. Jesus said that while he was still here, he was the light of the world. But now we are. We are the light of the world, the Holy Spirit inside of us. It's not our own light, it's his. So let's be the light to the world. Maybe you're sitting here today and you haven't actually ever truly flipped the switch. You've never really truly trusted in Jesus. Maybe you said a prayer once, but it never made a difference. If not, this is my plea to you today. Don't leave this place still stumbling, still wandering, still feeling alone and cold. Please seek God today. Don't go on wondering what the purpose is to this life. Talk to someone. He'll take you just as you are, I promise. And then you too can be immersed in light and then become light yourself. If you're sitting here today, immersed in light, but with your eyes closed, either to yourself or to what's going on around you, I challenge you to commit today to walk with your eyes open, pursuing truth in everything that you do. Sometimes it's a lot more painful that way because you actually see what's going on. But I promise that if you go out in light, it will conquer the darkness. Go. He's chosen you to walk in light and to bear it to the world. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead. And Christ will give you light. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, acknowledging that we aren't always walking in light. And Lord, I just pray that right now that you would bring revelation, God. You would bring conviction where there needs to be edification, encouragement, God. Lord, and that each heart would see clearer, God. That each heart would be opened up to seeing things the way you see them. No matter how ugly and how scary it is, but God, you don't just let us see the dirt and then leave us abandoned to it, God. You give us the light we need to conquer it. So Lord, I pray that today we would stand up and Lord, we would conquer darkness. Lord, I pray that what's hidden will be revealed, God, in each of our lives. And Lord, we know this is a work only you can do, so Lord, we trust you. We trust you, we trust you. And Lord, we love you. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing this last song, I'd like to invite you. It doesn't need to be an emotional response. It can just be a declaration. But I have a bunch of candles up front, and I'd encourage you to come up and light a candle. But I don't want you to light a candle and then that be the end of it. I want you to light a candle and then actually walk this out. Do something today. That means, that shows that you're walking in light. And if you want to make that declaration, feel free to come up at any point during the song and do that.